In Appalachia, black lung is back. It never really went away, but rates declined dramatically, and now they have come back up. A new study from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention shows the most severe kind of black lung to be at its highest rate in almost four decades. And this follows another study showing an increase in the overall black lung rate in recent years. Dr. Robert Cohen peer-reviewed the CDC study. He heads the Black Lung Clinic at the University of Illinois at Chicago. He's with us from WBEZ. Dr. Cohen, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, tell us, first of all, what black lung is exactly.
Well, black lung is a variety of types of lung diseases that are caused by people inhaling too much coal mine dust as part of their occupation. And the lung can really does not like this dust and can react in a number of ways, causing scarring, causing emphysema, chronic bronchitis, severe lung function impairment, and lots of morbidity and sometimes increased mortality from this exposure.
And now the rates of black lung are higher than they've been, as we said, in almost four decades. Tell us about this new study and what it found.
Well, the new study was looking at cases of the most severe and advanced type of black lung called progressive massive fibrosis, or others call it complicated pneumoconiosis. And this is where the scars in the lung are so large that they cause a lot more damage and really reflect very severe overexposures to coal mine dust. And what happened is NIOSH, the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, they found in the surveillance data that the rates of this severe form have been really increasing, and now in the mid-Appalachian states have really reverted to the levels that we saw before or at the very beginning of the Coal Mine Health and Safety Act when it was first enacted.
And why is that happening?
Well, there's lots of theories about this, but the bottom line is that coal miners are being overexposed, and these are miners that are working and had been working under what we considered modern dust controls. It's possible that as the methodology for cleaning coal from rock has been improved, that the mines are taking a lot of rock with the coal and overexposing miners to a lot of silica dust. We're also mining seams that are narrower, therefore we're taking a lot more rock above and below the seams. Miners are working long, long shifts, so have less time to really get their lungs cleaned out between shifts. They're working a lot of overtime. And that certainly could be part of it. And there's just clearly people are not paying attention to the levels of dust that they're exposing the miners to in these mines.
Well, stand by, Dr. Cohen. I want to bring in Gary Hairston, who has worked in various coal mines for more than 27 years and then found out that he had black lung. Gary, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And tell us about that discovery when you learned that you did have black lung disease.
Well, it was kind of hard on me because I couldn't figure out why, if I get to running and stuff, and I couldn't get my breath and try to figure out what's the matter. And when I went to the doctor, and he told me that I had black lung. You know, you heard my dad got it and not really realizing what it can do to you, especially your breathing.
Well, and what has it done to you? What has it meant for you and how you live your life on a daily basis?
I can't do the things I love to do. Even watch my grandson play basketball, I like to be out there playing with him, but I know I can't do that. And even cutting grass, I got to do it in interval or just pace myself. Where I used to could do it in an hour, now it's taking about 3 or 4 hours.
And you heard Dr. Cohen there talk about some of the reasons for the increase in the incidence of black lung disease. What do you think it was that caused you to get it?
Well, one mine that I worked at, we didn't hang no curtain. And like I said, we pretty much run in dust pretty much the whole shift. Like I said, working 10 to 12 hours a shift, and you in it the biggest part of the time.
Well, and you've talked about the fact that there's been gaming of the system, that people are giving false information to officials. Well, tell us about that.
When I was in there, even when they had the dust meters, we either turned them off or we covered the hole up so that you really couldn't get the right read. Like I say, me really didn't know that the effect that it was doing to us. We just realized that we didn't think we were doing was helping the company and running the coal for them. Like I said, if we'd had the curtain and stuff hung, if we'd have did what it needed to do to keep the dust down.
Dr. Cohen, what do you make of what we're hearing there from Gary about what happened to him and how he has been impacted by it?
I think that there is no doubt that the technology exists to control the dust in the mines and to engineer it to safe levels in the atmosphere. Gary was talking about the ventilation curtains, which create a little tunnel to suck the dust and keep it out of the air. And there's water suppression sprays that high-pressure water that can be used to knock the dust down out of the air. There's a lot that can be done, but it does take investment and it does take commitment on the part of the industry to do it. And I think that what Gary's describing is a situation in the mine that he worked in where the operators were carrying out activities to defeat the surveillance that is mandated by the Mine Safety Health Administration and providing fraudulent data. And clearly, he was overexposed to the dust in that mine.
Well, and there are these new mine health and safety regulations that went into effect over the summer. Would that have stopped Gary from getting black lung disease if they had been in effect back then?
I think that the new law that the Mine Safety Health Administration promulgated and went into effect August 1st would do a huge amount if it can be enforced, if it is enforced. It knocks down the permissible exposure limit for dust, and it really plugs a lot of loopholes in the laws that existed before in the regulations so that the operators have to really comply. And I think that the administration is trying to do as much as it can to enforce it.
Well, and I know that you just returned from a trip to China where you presented at an international conference on black lung in Beijing. How are things in Appalachia compared to the rest of the world when it comes to mine safety and the incidence of black lung disease?
Well, the incidence in China is horrific, and the exposure levels that were reported are also really, really astounding and frightening. They were discussing levels of dust exposure that are between 10 and 50 times the levels in the U.S., and they described 27,000 cases of pneumoconiosis that they diagnosed per year. About 90% of their occupational disease in China, they reported, was pneumoconiosis. So they have a huge problem over there. I would mention that they have 7 million coal miners in China. We have about 80,000 in the United States. So it's a huge industry and a huge problem. So thank goodness we are not at that level. But I think that we have to be world leaders in this and not followers. And I think we should take this resurgence of disease very seriously and act on it.
Well, and Gary Hairston, let me just finally go back to you. I'm sure it's not easy for you to have to talk about this. Why have you decided to be public about your struggle with this disease?
Well, I don't want the younger men to go through what I'm going through right now. And if I find out what kind of struggle it is, and everything I do, I got to do it in moderation. You know, I just can't go all out. So I don't want all these other young men going through what I'm going through right now.
Do you have kids in the business?
I did have one, and he quit.
Are you glad he got out of coal mining?
Yes.
Well, Gary Hairston, thank you so much for speaking with us.
You're welcome.
And Dr. Robert Cohen, who is the head of the Black Lung Clinic at the University of Illinois at Chicago, thank you as well.
You're welcome.